And joining me in the KRVS studios, I'm very happy to say, is Zachary Richard. Happy for many reasons. He has just been nominated for a Grammy for the Best Regional Roots Music for his CD Le Fou. And hopefully we'll have a little time to talk about that later. But you're here to talk about a very special CD, a very special project dear to your heart that just came out. It's called J'aime la vie. And I know that we mentioned it when you were here the other day talking about the UL Press book sale. And Cecil's had an opportunity to play a song from the disc. But we're glad to have you back to talk a little bit more about this project because it is very special to you and started a few years back. And so I think we'll start off talking about your grandson, Emile, because he really is the reason for this project. So maybe tell us about him, since he will be central to our discussion about this wonderful disc.
Well, he's very charming and very talented young man. And we were walking along the La Grève, along the beach in Gaspésie in 2010. Emile lives in Paris, but we have him with us as often as we possibly can, and I take him on tour, although lately he's been starting to steal the show a little too regularly, so I'm going to have to renegotiate the contract. But we were walking along the beach, and he says to me, he says, I want to make an album. And I said, okay, I can help you with that. We should have songs, though. The first thing we need to do is to write songs. And I was trying to find some way to get him involved in the songwriting process. And I said, well, a good place to start is like, you know, we could sing a song about what something you like. So what do you like? I said, qu'est-ce que tu aimes? He said, j'aime la vie. And that answer, I love life, it just really kind of hit me between, as they say in Evangeline Parish, entre l'œil et la corne, between the eye and the horn. And I just said, wow, that's cool. So let's take this a little farther.
And you mentioned he was only 10 years old at that time.
He was 10 years old. And I should say that Emil is handicapped. He's neuromotor handicapped. He's not intellectually diminished, but he has a handicap, which, as he says, I'm handicapped, but not very much. So this challenge that he has in his life is somehow very similar, at least in my mind, to the challenge that I was facing shortly thereafter, a neuromotor handicap of my own. And that drew us even closer. The way that we would write songs is the way that the first song would come about. He would have an idea. He'd say, well, this is what I'd like to write about. And then I'd start quizzing him. Okay, what does that mean? So out of the mouths of babes, he would have these phrases. Then I would write everything. I was pretty much the secretary for this project. He conceived of all of the songs. And we wrote them together, but I would say that, you know, he was really the spark that was the genesis of the project as a whole and of every song on top of that.
Well, he seems to have, and just in your description, and you have this blog, you have a lovely blog where you write about your music and thoughts and just musings, and you're talking about Emile and conversations you all had, and he seems to have this uncanny ability to go straight to the heart of something or to perceive something that others might not. And when you mentioned that you had gone into the hospital, you had a stroke in 2010. I believe
you... Glad you brought that up.
Well, I guess to say that he had spoken to you not long before that about
that was
an
weird
idea for a song.
We had already started writing in July of 2010, and the process was like, I was really quite surprised that it was going so well. In the first 2 days, we wrote two songs, and I said, like, this, there's something really cool happening here, you know? And then we just kept plugging at it, and he would, as I said, come up with the idea, and we would then put into place this practice of research, of songwriting, in fact, you know. And one day he Skyped me. It was in October of 2010. We had already gotten pretty far down the road, and we had quite a few songs finished. And he called me from Paris on Skype, and he said, "I have a new idea for a song." And I said, "What's that?" He says, "The Hospital." And I said, "Oh, well, okay, why is that?" Using the same method that we used in the past. And he says, "Well, you know, they have doctors and nurses and ambulances, and he loves flashing lights. So, you know, the flashing lights." And I said, "Emil, you know, that's really not that interesting a concept to me. But I'll see what I can do, you know." And that was in the afternoon. And that evening I had a stroke and I was in the hospital. And I realize now that because my doctors never really understood what happened, because it was a spontaneous event. I was in really good shape and physically and fine fiddle, but wound up in the hospital anyway. And I realize now that it was just my way of doing research for the song.
You were so responsive to his
right,
needs.
Right. So I actually wrote the song. It's not on the album, and I hate that song because it reminds me of too many things that I'd rather forget.
Research.
But it's just weird that that would happen, you know. So there was this real, very intimate level of communication. And I don't know. I don't want to see more into this than there is. But after I had my accident, Emil came from Paris and he helped me. And we did our exercises together, and it really made me appreciate what he goes through every day, because having my own neuromotor handicap now, I really understand what it means to be born with that condition and how difficult it is. And the thing that inspires me the most, Judith, about this young man is that he's always, in spite of that, extremely positive. And his light shines everywhere he goes. And he's helped me a lot in my life as an inspiration, as an example of how to deal with adversity. And I think that's what's really the story of this album.
Well, and when you talk about his light, and we'll talk about the whole design of the album after talking about the music, it's beautifully designed, and there are photographs of him in the booklet. And you see that light. You see it shining. There is this lovely heightened awareness in him, almost as if he's looking directly at you. And you being his grandfather, you must have even a greater sense of that, of a child whose sense of the world, of nature, is heightened.
Kids are like that. I mean, it's not – he's – just a kid among others, because I think children have this ability to separate the wheat from the chaff and really to get to the heart of things. It's hard for me, nonetheless, to avoid the notion that there's something special about this young man, at least in my life, and how he relates to me. And yeah, I'm his grandfather, so that's pretty normal that I would have this great affection for him. But that great affection does not necessarily mean that we could sit down and write enough songs to make an album that I'm really proud of. So there was really something very special about this experience for me. And to be able to do that with him naturally was something that I felt really blessed to be a part of. It was like the universe was giving me a gift through his eyes, through his heart, through his head, and through the way that he sees things. And he does have this really uncanny ability to come up with these very important and very meaningful phrases. And like I said, I was just there. I was jotting it all down and, you know, putting it into a more of a standardized form so that it could actually turn into songs. But it was a real collaboration in every sense.
Well, and you said somewhere in your writings about the work that he has these beautiful lists, and to say he's just like every other child. I mean, I've had 10-year-old boys. They don't they aren't as all aware and able to name the things of the world around them in quite the same precise, lovely way that he does. But you remarked that it wasn't just his ability to name the things around him, but that he had these observations that continually surprised you and just filled you with this amazement at what he came up with. So it wasn't just the listing of objects in the world around him, but what were some of the things that he said that really struck you?
Well, j'aime la vie, you know, I love life and all its creatures. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then he says, I loved handicapped children. There are some in my school. Emil attended. Now he's like in a normal, quote unquote, school. But up until this year, I mean, he just went into, I'm not really sure how they do it in France, but he just went from like elementary to secondary or whatever they do over there. But anyway, he was in a school which is a very special place. There are 90 students. There are 3 students in the entire school that could walk. And I've had the opportunity and the privilege to play for those kids. I've done fundraisers at the school, and it's been really a meaningful experience for me because these children are really incredible survivors. And that was made clear to me in 2009. Emil and I were at the Acadian World Congress in Caraquet, and we were having breakfast one morning in this cafe, and there was a lady next to us who I found out teaches handicapped children. And I said to her at one point, I said, "Madam, that must be very, very difficult to deal with on a daily basis, children with these problems." And she said, no. They are incredible survivors. They have this gift of life because life is so precious to them, and they have to really fight and struggle for every thing that they can experience. It's really, you've got it backwards, she told me. She says, no, they're very, very strong. And so she was glad to be around him. And I felt that too, because when I went to Emil's school, there are 90 kids in the school. The waiting list for this school, Judith, is 9,000. And the kids are handpicked, and Emil was not sufficiently handicapped to actually be part of this school. But he went to an interview with the doctors, and he charmed them, and they said, "We need this kid's energy." And there was actually 3 kids in the whole school that could walk. The rest of the kids were either in wheelchairs or worse. And to have to deal with that on a daily basis and to really struggle for everything, and just to be able to walk to the door is a challenge. That, I think, has created in this young man an inner strength and a sort of ability to understand what is really important. You know, I mean, I get so involved in all this day-to-day crap that, you know, you think is important because you're late for work or you got to do this, you got to do that. But when you see someone who is just happy to be alive and happy to be part of this experience called humanity, it puts things in a very, very different perspective. And that's what this album did for me.
Well, I think it will do it for anyone who has the happy occasion to acquire the disc, the music, the package, just getting to see his photograph in this lovely booklet, that smile, that openness.
And I should say that this is not being distributed commercially in the United States, so if you want a copy, you have to go to my website, basically, if you're living south of the border, I mean anywhere south of the 50th
parallel. And you're not talking about the Mason-Dixon.
Talking about Canada. But actually, and we're having, I mean, you know, time out for a commercial plug. I'm offering a Christmas special, Le Fou and J'aime la vie, at a reduced price. And Emil signed a bunch, so we brought a bunch of J'aime la vie. So all of these will be personally autographed by Emil and myself. So if you want a copy, you still got to go to my website.
And we also have to say that Emil was part of a song that is on Le Fou. I believe one of the songs in Le Fou.
He wrote Orignale Caribou with me. So that, but I stole that one. I said, you know, I want that one on my record because that one was really, it hit too close to home.
Okay.
So I said, you know, you can have the rest of them, but I'm gonna steal that one from you.
Okay.
So.
Well, we'll talk about the Le Fou in just a moment. And if you are just tuning in, my guest is Zachary Richard. He is here with us talking about his disc, J'aime la vie, and we should say his disc along with his grandson, Emile, who was 10 years old at the time they began their collaboration. And it has culminated in this beautiful disc, J'aime la vie. The title song is the first song that starts off the mm-hmm. album, J'aime la vie, and that is how you began the collaboration. That was the first thing he said when you asked him, what do you like?
And we started that song at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I remember this vividly. And by supper time, it was done. And I said, wow, you know, this is cool. So the next day, we went out and we were on the beach. And I said, okay, what do you want to write about now? And he says, la mer, the sea. So the second day, we wrote another song. And after that, it wasn't so easy, but it was like, right away, I knew that this was something that was really worth doing, and it was going to be a challenge. And songwriting is never easy, but sometimes it is. And when it is, you get encouraged and you believe that it's going to be easy all the time, so you keep doing it. But off to a good start.
And again, back to your comment that when you're collaborating, it's not finished until both people are satisfied. What were his responses to you as you began to shape some of his thoughts and his ideas?
Some things he liked, some things he didn't. You know, I mean, it's just like anything else. I mean, and basically it's a collaborative effort. So when you're co-writing with someone, and I've never done a lot of co-writing, but I've done some, and that's kind of the deal. You have to both be satisfied with the ultimate outcome, and until you are, you just got to keep struggling through it. And I would propose, and he would dispose, basically. And we would keep working till I went, okay, do you like this? And when he said, yeah, we were done.
Well, let's go past the, you wrote these first couple songs very easily, and then he had this great idea for the hospital song. And so that slowed things down just a little bit. What happened after that? There are a couple times where I was reading that he would just call you up.
Well, the third song that we wrote is called Mon Cheval Napoléon, because after I had the stroke, Emile came and he helped me during my convalescence. And my cousin, Bobby, has a very high-strung quarter horse, and he's just in the field over. So Emile and I would go over and we'd feed him carrots and we'd hang out. And so one day Emile just looks at me and he says, Mon Cheval Napoléon, we have to write a song about Napoléon. So we wrote the song about the horse. And the rest of them, I don't really recall. There were some songs that Emile, for example, was much more involved with the music of Dans Mon Jardin. He called one day and he said, I have a fig tree in my garden, and Dans Mon Jardin, I want to write a song about my garden. I said, okay. And then he starts singing. You know, and he says, this is da 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 da. I'm going, okay, I got it.
So, notating the music.
Right, and then, you know, next thing you know, we were off to a good start with that one. Emile has been taking intercontinental air flights since the time he was 8, and I was really against it. I said, man, this is, you know, I mean, the kid's handicapped. He's got difficulty speaking, and once you get a feeling for his accent and his jargon, you can understand him. But
if there was an emergency or something,
yeah,
you were worried.
I said, my God, you know, this is not a good idea. Mm-hmm. And Claude and Emile's mother, Sarah, decided that I was wrong. And I was wrong because it built up so much confidence in him now. And now he's got to the point where this was his latest step forward, and that is, until recently he was called an unaccompanied minor. So he'd have that thing around his neck with his passport in
it. How embarrassing.
And, you know, and it, he kept going, you know, I really don't want to do that, you know. And I said, well, yeah, you still need to do this because. And so the last flight, he actually flew from Montreal to Rome and by himself. I mean, he's been, I don't know how many, it's well over a dozen from Paris to Montreal or Paris to New Orleans or Paris or someplace else. But anyway, he's been flying for a long time. And this last time, He got on the plane by himself, didn't have that thing around his neck. He got off the plane in Rome, and the airplane employee showed up with a wheelchair and said, would you like some help? And Emil very arrogantly said, no, thank you. I don't need any help.
He's a working songwriter.
Yeah, you're right.
He's traversing the world.
Yeah.
So you have a song called L'Avion, and mm-hmm.
yep.
that's part
yep.
of it.
Yep, that's like it says, mm-hmm. I'm gonna take the plane just like a big person, and I love mm-hmm. to travel because he loves to travel, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And it's always really fun to travel with him because he's always discovering things. And I mean, he's a kid, you know. Mm-hmm. He can get cranky. I mean, he's not a saint. He's a kid, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but he's a good kid. He's a good kid with a good heart.
Well, I'd like to talk more about the music and some more of the collaboration between the two of you, but I think we should probably let people hear a little bit of what you all created together.
Yeah, I'm talking now.
Oh, I'm not finished with you yet. Again, if you are tuning in, Zachary Richard is my guest, talking about his new CD that he did in collaboration with his grandson, Emil. It's called J'aime la vie, and we have a copy of it here. I'm very fortunate to have one. And we're going to play the very first song that you all collaborated on, called J'aime la vie.
Je m'appelle Emile et je suis un petit garçon. J'aime mes amis et d'aller à l'école. Des fois je suis ému en pensant à la vie. J'aime la vie et toutes les créatures. J'aime la vie et toutes les créatures. J'aime la vie et toutes les créatures. J'aime les arbres. J'aime les fleurs, j'aime les cailloux et les boîtes en carton, parce que je peux me cacher dedans. J'aime la vie, toutes les créatures. J'aime la vie, toutes les créatures. J'aime la vie, toutes les créatures. Enfants handicapés, ils sont dans mon école. Ce n'est pas parce qu'ils sont handicapés qu'on ne peut pas les aimer. J'aime la vie, toutes les créatures. J'aime la vie, toutes les créatures. Créature, j'aime la vie, toutes les créatures. J'aime la vie, toutes les créatures. J'aime la vie, toutes les
just listening to the song J'aime la vie, which was written by my guest Zachary Richard and his grandson Emil. It's the title song to the CD that they did together. Emil was 10 years old when you began the project, mm-hmm. and he's now rocketing into teenage years. Does he still express an interest in writing songs? Does he bring you ideas?
Mm-hmm. He's very musical, and in fact, he probably won't hear this. Maybe he will, but he knows anyway. For Christmas, we're going to give him a Pro Tools rig so he can actually start recording. It's very important that he does something that he loves like any other kid, you know, and he really, really loves music. His handicap really impedes him from, prevents him from playing an instrument proficiently. So I think maybe he'd be better off as a producer, as a songwriter, because you make more money anyway.
Have you told him that?
Yeah, well, he knows all about that. I mean, you know, I guess the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. He wanted to know, when do I meet the girls and when do I start making money?
Let's write some different songs than just I Like the Porpoises in the Sea. Well, let's talk about the music part of this collaboration, because it was really I've been listening to this disc for the past couple days and feeling my way through it and imagining, especially it's not a children's album.
No, it's not.
It's something that every adult can enjoy and appreciate, but it is an album that would be extremely easy to share with young people.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. And it's like it's a children's album for children from 8 to 80.
Yes.
You know, and there's a child in all of us, and that's what Emil was able to do for me, because I'm a sophisticated songwriter, and I've been writing for 40 years, and I'd really challenged myself, and I pride myself on being very eloquent, or try to be anyway. And he was able to give me this tool, which was simplicity. You know, instead of a lot of verbiosity, how do you say that, verbiosity? Anyway, it was just like, let's cut to the chase and just make the point, get to the point. You know, what is this about? And the simplicity and this innocence, it really resonates with a lot of people. And I think that's what is the strength of the songwriting, is we're able to express really profound truth with very simple phrases. And I liken this record to a Japanese haiku, because it's expressing really profound meaning with extremely simple images.
Kind of like a string of haiku,
this
lovely string. Well, then you must have been very conscious of the music and the instrumentation that you chose that would complement the simplicity and eloquence of his words. And that really struck me as I was and again, when I said it would be something that I could share with young people of all ages, as you say, but something that would be extremely accessible to a young person who may not be as sophisticated in understanding music. But every song would be something I would have loved to have shared with my children at a younger age, at Emil's age, because it was there. There, and just as he was expressing these lovely ideas, it was something that I would have loved to have my young people hear and share with. And I wonder if you were conscious of that when you were choosing the music as to how to shape it to complement that.
Well, the composition of the music, Judith, was very spontaneous. And, I mean, he would come up with an idea, we'd start working, and immediately I would have an idea for a melody. I don't know how that happened, because it's usually a lot harder than that. But the music was very easy to come by. In terms of the production itself, when I realized what kind of project this was, I knew that it was important to stay very simple, which is really hard for me, because I'm always adding more ingredients, and it's like, you know, I don't know when to stop. So I called Marc Beaulieu. Marc Beaulieu is a close friend of mine. I've known Marc for many, many years, but we've never collaborated because we never really found the right project to do. But this is perfect. Marc is also the father of four small children, one of whom Sam and Maya you can see in the video, which if you go online, folks, at J'aime la vie and type in my name, you'll see the video with Emil. And there's these two other little children. Those are Marc's children. And Marc had this very elegant and precise production technique. We recorded most of the stuff in my album in Montreal. There was just people that would come in. Mark did a lot of the work in his own studio. And our guiding light was the simplicity of the songs and just trying to illustrate the songs with as much simplicity as the songs express, you mm-hmm. know.
Well, I'm glad you talked about him because that's very evident. I mean, now that you describe his part, he really had an unerring touch in the use of instrumentation mm-hmm. and the feeling of each song. It just rang true, each song and how you chose the production to accompany each of the lyrics.
Yes. Mark is a tremendous musician, and he's a good producer. He's also the programming director of the Congrès Mondial Acadien in 2014. So I've been able to collaborate with him on several projects, but none as meaningful as this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did a gorgeous job. And it just, again, complemented the collaboration mm-hmm. between you and Emile so beautifully. So I know some people must be curious. This is a project with your grandchild. He was 10 years old when you started. Can you tell us just a bit about yourself as a 10-year-old and your sense of music at that age or your sense of poetry, anything that at that age, what were you aware of musically, either in nature or actual music?
At 10 years old, I was big and fat, and my father was the first. My father worked for the Boy Scouts, which was like paradise for a young child. And then he got hired by the sheriff's department to be the first juvenile juvenile police officer in the history of the parish of Lafayette, which really kind of just put us both in a nosedive because I was going into adolescence and he was dealing with juvenile delinquents. And I was determined to become one, and he was determined to prevent me from becoming one. But we went to Los Angeles when I was 10 for a 6-month training course. He went to the University of Southern California to learn how to be a juvenile police officer.
And you went with him.
And my mother and I accompanied him. And I was, like, really freaked out. I mean, the girls in California were much more precocious sexually than the girls in Louisiana at that time.
I mean, at the age of 10.
No offense, girls. But, I mean, I was like, and there was this, I went to a Catholic school there, but there was no playground. It was just asphalt. And once a week, they'd come get us to go to a park. And I had no friends. And so I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day and got really fat. So I was like a pretty good athlete until I went to California. And because I come from a family, my father was had the high school mile record in Louisiana. My uncle was a professional baseball player. So there was, you know, a lot of sports in the family. And he was this fat kid, you know. So that's when I started to really become an artist because that was my refuge, you know. It's like I got to do something. You know, I can't run track anymore, so I'm going to have to play the guitar, I guess.
From Scott to Los Angeles mm-hmm. at the age of 10.
Yeah, it was, and it was, you know, it was traumatic. It was, really was traumatic, and it freaked me right out.
Well, that's the stuff of good songwriting too, trauma, not just poetry and beauty.
Yeah, well, being Catholic helps a lot too because you have all this you're guilt ridden and all of these strange.
But the Catholicism of California, that would have been different.
Hmm? Yeah, and you know, it was just encountering this culture that was obviously so different and so much more, it was just precocious in every sense. You know, I mean, I had one friend and we shared a passion for stamp collecting. So I went over to see his stamp collection and he pulls out from under his bed this box and it's full of zip guns, knives, and chains. He's in a gang and he wants to recruit me into the gang. So then we stopped being friends because I was scared. I was just scared out of my wits. I'm not going to go like...
He was one of the guys your father came to study.
Right, right. So it was, you know, 10 years old was weird, you know. But Emile's 10 and he's not weird, so I guess
he's got quite a different experience. Yeah. So when you say in a way that it helped you to become an artist, did you listen to a lot of music at that time?
No, I read the Bible. I was stoned into the Bible at the time. I was in my own little world because I was, you know, not only was I an only child, but I was an only child in a strange land. So I had really no friends.
Exile.
And the whole time that we spent there, I was just in my own little world. And then we came back and, you know, I'd left as this lithe, relatively trim and vigorous young boy and came back as this fat little pig. And, you know,
Traumatized.
So, you know, but it probably had a lot to do with my becoming an artist because, you know, otherwise I'd have just ran the mile and, you know, I don't know what, but anyhow.
Maybe not as been attentive to the world as you were.
I don't know.
So when did you become conscious of music? Obviously, you and Emile's experiences are different here in becoming a musician.
I say that I wasn't into music. I wasn't performing anymore, but I actually started singing in the Bishop's Boys Choir at St. John's Cathedral when I was 8 years old. And I think that that is why I became a singer, because for every day during the school year, 5 days a week, we would rehearse and then sing High Mass on Sunday. So not only did I learn how to sing, but I learned to love to sing. And it was a very meaningful experience. I have some good friends who were part of that experience with me. I won't name them because I'll probably forget one and they won't call me up anymore. But we were a good gang of talented kids, and we cut up and we drove. James Fontenot was the choir director, and we drove him absolutely crazy. But it gave me the desire to express myself in music because I didn't come from a musical family.
What did you like about the music, the literature that you all sang at that time?
Well, I liked everything about it because I was very much I was raised in a very Catholic family, so to be part of this religious experience was very meaningful for me at the time. And it was Kicks, you know, and I was apparently talented enough to where they decided they were going to give me piano lessons to develop my artistic abilities. And then I had Catherine Bollock, who was in Scott, gave me piano lessons. And she said, "You're too good for me. I'm going to take you to I don't know what it was called in those days, USL, I think, and said, we'll get the, like, King piano teacher, I forget his name, but anyway. So I went and auditioned for him, and he said, "You're great. You're going to go far. You're going to have to practice at least 2 hours a day." I said, "To hell with this, you know, and that's not for me."
You're a teenager at this time?
Yeah, I'm 12
years
old.
About Emile's age.
I'm 12 years old, and I said, no. And then now I remember riding around White Subdivision in Jimmy Dupuis' Mustang convertible when I heard "I Can't Get No Satisfaction" on the radio, and then I realized it was like the sky opened up and God pointed his finger at me and said, "You will play rock and roll." So
from Gregorian chant to "I Can't Get No
Music.
Satisfaction."
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'm glad you brought all of that up because I did want to talk kind of about the aspect, the tenor, the emotional quality of your voice when you sing. And that is such a lovely story to think of you in the choir, singing High Mass, Gregorian chant, mm-hmm. loving that music. Mm-hmm. Was there something emotional about it, too, that you loved in addition to just, because there's obviously just the technical aspect of that kind of high church music.
I was serving the Lord. I was very much a believer, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the experience was very moving for me on many different mm-hmm. levels. But what I've retained from all of that is basically the ability and the love of singing.
Mm-hmm.
It was Kicks, you know, but my spirituality has evolved in other directions now, but that's really, mm-hmm. I think, beside the point. What's important for me now is that singing is, for me at least, a spiritual experience.
Well, I think that's something that anyone who has listened to you for a long time is aware of, however inaccurately, we're all aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us remember the first time we heard you sing. And I remember very, very clearly one instance when you were singing live. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a very early recording of Les Ailes des Hirondelles. Mm-hmm. And the effect that had, the quality of tenor of your voice. And I really wanted to ask you about that. When you're conscious of your voice, what are you striving for in those moments? With that song, perhaps, address that song.
That's it. I don't strive for anything. I'm possessed.
Possessed.
In a real positive way. I've been practicing Zen meditation since I was 18, and I'm 63 now, and I don't think I'm like even remotely advanced on that spiritual path, maybe like a frog's hair. But what I try to do through meditation, I'm able to do when I sing. There is the integration of the spiritual and the physical. I'm possessed by the spirit, but my body's moving. You know, you use your diaphragm, you use your throat, you use your ears, you use your mind, you use your heart to sing. And those things, to me, are very, very precious. And when I'm singing, I'm aware of nothing but the singing. And sometimes, a lot of times when I play, you know, people talk about out-of-body experience, and I have this very... it's so normal to me that I can't say that it's pleasant or unpleasant, but it's like I'm floating above myself, looking at myself sing, and I'm going, how the hell can he remember all those words, you know? And I don't really think about it, and it just comes through. I think that there's something very magical or mystical about music itself and about singing in particular, because when you do it, when I do it anyway, I'm transported to a place where there is no pain. There's nothing in my life that has brought me as much solace as music. I mean, and the love of the people that are around me. But in times of trouble, nothing is as powerful an antidote to suffering that I find, at least as music.
Well, I think what you're describing there is what people feel in all of your recordings and what they will feel when they listen to J'aime la vie. And I wanted to ask you about that because it was so strong in some of the songs in this album and had never had the opportunity to really ask about that. That's very strong, and those are lovely images and lovely thoughts to keep in mind when we do listen to your work. If you are tuning in, my guest Zachary Richard is here talking about his latest disc, a collaboration with his grandson Emile. It's called J'aime la vie. Emile also helped out with a song that is on Le Fou, which has just recently been nominated for a Grammy, and that's in the Best Regional Roots Music category. And we're all hopeful for you.
Thank you.
And I guess one of the songs on the album that I liked a lot was called L'Univers.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
of course,
my favorite.
That goes along with some of the things you're talking about, and the quality of your voice in that song really reflects what you were saying as to what you feel and what you're possessed by when you sing. And I think it would be nice to go out with that song if Cecil can find Universe, L'Univers. And maybe you can tell us about that song and what Emile's thoughts were and how you created the song.
Well, we were in Montreal. We live upstairs, and then there's a studio on another floor. It's another small apartment, and that's where I work. And Emile came down, and we were laying on the floor, and he says, I have an idea for a song. And I said, what's that? And he said, the universe. And I said, well, that's pretty vast. What about the universe? What is the universe? And he said, well, it's the planets and the sun and the earth and all of that. And then he stopped and he looked over, and this our window looks over the Laurentian plain, and in the distance, very pretty, in the distance you can see the Laurentians in Quebec. And he says, the universe, il faut remplir l'univers avec l'amour. You need to fill the universe with love. And I just went, okay, let's write the song.
You can do that. Well, this is L'Univers, which is on the disc J'aime la vie, which Zachary Richard did with his grandson, Émile.
Me demande d'où vient l'univers. Quand je vois les étoiles dans la nuit scintillant avec autant de beauté, je me demande d'où vient l'univers. L'univers, c'est les planètes et la terre, la noirceur et la lumière. L'univers, c'est moi et toi et tout ce qui existe autour. Faut remplir l'univers avec l'amour. Et l'amour fait partie de l'univers, bien qu'il n'a pas de poids ni de matière. L'amour est un aussi grand mystère. L'univers, c'est les planètes et la terre, la noirceur et la lumière. L'univers, c'est moi et toi et tout ce qui existe autour. L'univers avec l'amour. Et pourtant, ce n'est pas très clair, mais je me sens beaucoup moins solitaire, sachant que tu es dans l'univers. L'univers, c'est les planètes et la terre, la noirceur et la lumière. L'univers, c'est moi et toi et tout ce qui existe autour. Pour remplir l'univers avec l'amour, pour remplir l'univers avec ton amour.
And you were just listening to Zachary Richard and his grandson Émile, and that was the last song on the disc. Mm-hmm. It's called L'Univers, and the disc, of course, is J'aime la vie. As that was playing, we were just talking about some other amazing songs that you have on this disc and some great musicians who played with you as well throughout the disc. Beautifully, beautifully produced by Marc Beaulieu, and mm-hmm. the musicians who played with you compliment it so well.
Thank you.
This is available only on your website now.
Unfortunately, or you can drive to Canada, but you know it'd probably be cheaper to just order it online. And we're having a Christmas special, folks, so you can get the Grammy-nominated Le Fou and J'aime la vie at a reduced price. And Émile and I will be happy to autograph him for you personally. So check it out. It's a great Christmas gift, too, if you got kids or you want to learn French or you want to go crazy, anything you want.
All of that, all of that. It's a beautiful disc. And, of course, as we mentioned, Émile helped out with one of the songs on Le Fou, which is nominated for a Grammy.
Right.
Is he planning to go to the Grammys with you?
He's got to go to school. You know? I mean, come on now. Actually, we
hasn't
were...
hasn't started that life yet as a famous songwriter.
We were able to win the French-Canadian Grammy, and Émile was there with me. And it was funny because the trophy, it's called a Felix, and it's like weighs about 15 pounds. It's a little bitty thing, but it's very, very heavy. Anyway, I think he slept with it that night, you know. It was really a kick to have him with me there. But unfortunately, I'm afraid he's going to have to stay in school.
But, so if you're listening, Emil, don't get any ideas.
Yeah. Well, he knows. He knows the routine by now. He knows the drill. So,
well, hopefully we'll have you back. And
Emil will be here with me.
He'll be here at some point. In addition to writing songs, collaborating with other musicians, you also write poetry. You publish books of poetry. You're an activist, environmentalist. You also are an author, and you have published books with the UL Press. Two amazing books that you did in collaboration with some other people from this area. And one is En Français, L'Histoire des Acadiens et les Acadiennes de la Louisiane, and The History of the Acadians in Louisiana. One is in English, one is in French, and both are published now through the UL Press. Yesterday was the UL Press sale. Not everybody got an opportunity to go to the sale and hear you perform there. So the UL Press will be at Art Walk, and you will be there signing copies of your book.
Yeah, and I got a feeling that I'm going to probably have a couple of some copies of J'aime la vie, just in case anybody's interested. We'll sell them under the table or maybe out in the parking lot. I got to put them in a brown bag, so don't tell anybody. But
don't tell anyone. This is worldwide.
I'm gonna be at the Art Walk this Saturday from 6 to 7, and I'll be happy to meet anybody who's interested in Acadian history or in life. And I've got something for everybody. So y'all come and see me, and we'll pass a good time.
So whether you love J'aime l'histoire acadienne or J'aime la vie, n'importe quel, Zachary can chat with you about it and, of course, sign these books, which are by the UL Press, and they are an amazing
beautiful book. I'm very proud of that project. Yes. It's one of those labors of love that was a long time coming. It took a lot of hard work from a lot of people. It was a very collaborative effort. I have to mention Scott Long, Christy Gilroy, Glenda Cormier-Williams, and Michelle Hodge-Broussard, who contributed significantly to this project. And it's, I think, a good way to get a general overview of Acadian history. And it's lavishly illustrated, thanks to the UL Press. It's a pretty book. It's a beautiful book, actually. And it's a book, I think, which will have a lot of meaning for the people here who might not know as much as they would like to know about their own history. So
that's right.
Whether you're Acadian or not, whether you love life or not, come and see us. We'll be
great
at the
books. And ACA, you can get both Saturday. French and English, and learn some French as well with them side by side.
Side by each.
Merci beaucoup, Zachary, pour la musique et toute l'information de notre histoire. Merci beaucoup.
Un grand plaisir. Merci à toi.